Pastor Hiroshi planned on preaching on Luke chapter 2, and it's in your bulletin. Before we begin, please go ahead, turn to your Bibles, to the book of Luke. We are not in chapter 2, as the bulletin says, we are in chapter 1. And even though we won't use the bulletin this morning, I commend to you this bulletin every week. Not only just the look of it, but the inside is always very good and a beneficial read. So every week, Jim or Lloyd have worked very hard to put something worthwhile in there. So it blesses me when I read it, and I'm sure that it will bless you. As well, we make extras so that if you have somebody who you think might enjoy something like this, then we encourage you to pass this on to them as well. On the inside, on the bottom left corner, it says resources. Listen to a sermon. And I know that many of you listen to podcasts and streams and downloads of not just mine, but many pastors around the world. I have a list of my own pastors that I like to listen to podcasts as well. And I don't know who you're listening to. So that's something I always pray for. I always pray that you're listening to good pastors, good Bible teachers, and not a bunch of freaks or whacks. But I don't know that. But Jim's put on here one pastor, Pastor Phil Hills in England, who I have listened to. I used to listen to all the time, and I commend him to you. He's a very, very good preacher of the word. But he speaks in an English accent, but don't let that bother you. Okay. We're in Luke chapter 1, and it's towards the end that I would like to direct your attention. It's going to be from verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Now, before I read that, I need to give you a little bit of a background to it. This is the prayer or a song of a very old man who has a newborn baby. The newborn baby is not Jesus, but it is Jesus' cousin, a distant cousin, maybe an uncle. It is John. And the circumstances of John's birth are given to us in Luke chapter 1. It is an amazing story. So there's an old priest. His name is Zechariah. And he is a good man. He's faithful to God. He believes in God. And he works for God. And he has a wife. And unfortunately, they have not had a baby into their old age. Well, one day he's working in the temple, and the angel appears to him. And the angel says, "Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. And he's listened to you, and God is going to give you a son. And God not only knows that you're going to have a child, he knows the gender of the child, and he knows the name of the child. You're going to name him John." And Zechariah, even though he's old, and even though he knows God, and even though he believes in God, even though there's an angel talking to him, telling him what God is going to do, he still can't believe it. It's amazing. You can come to church, you can meet God, and still you don't believe what he's telling you. And so he says, "How is this going to happen? I'm an old man." And so the angel says, "I'm an angel. I stand in the presence of God. And you know what? Because you don't believe, I'm going to shut your mouth. Because that doubt could spread if you keep talking about it." So he shuts Zechariah's mouth. He can't speak for the next 9 months. And his wife is so happy that he comes home, he doesn't say anything, and the relationship rekindles. And she gets pregnant. Surprise, surprise. So they have this 9 months pass by, a wonderful story between Elizabeth, his wife, and her relative Mary happens, and that's a beautiful Christmas story as well. At the end of chapter 1, the baby is born, and Everybody is like, yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. 8 days pass. They circumcise the baby because he's Jewish. And at the circumcision, the doctor is saying, what should we name the baby? And everybody says, well, Zechariah. His father's name is Zechariah. Let's name him Zechariah. And Elizabeth says, no, we can't name him Zechariah. The angel told us his name. His name's John. And they say, what? Let's ask the father. And Zechariah, the old man, he says, okay, get me a tablet. Not an iPad or a Galaxy, but just get me like an old-fashioned tablet. And he, you know, gets there and he's right. He says, his name is Yohane, John, right? And it's at that moment that God opens his mouth again and he's able to speak. And hallelujah, praise God. Before we get into the text, I just want to stop there and just let you understand. God knew your name before you ever had a name. Does that register with you? You wonder, what is the importance of my life? Why am I here? Why am I in this city doing this job? With this spouse, what am I doing? And you think you don't know what you're doing and you're lost or you have no purpose or you have no... God knows. He knew long before that. Before you even had a name, he had a name for you. Not just for John, but for everybody. And so I want you to even consider that and be encouraged. That if he has a name before you were born, he knows what your name is going to be even now and who you're going to become even after this day and beyond that. So I'm encouraging you, if you don't know where to go, go to God because he knows exactly what to do with you. Okay, let's get into our text. So now they have this baby. His name is John, and Zechariah, he's inspired to write a song of thanksgiving to God. And people hear it, and they say, that's a good song. Let's write it down. And so they recorded it, and it's going to be from verse 68. I'm going to ask you to join me at the end of that verse 77, okay? But let me read from verse 68. This is Zechariah. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, he's holding his baby in his arms, and he's saying, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Now let's read together verse 77. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The very words of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to preach sort of line by line, verse by verse. There's nothing prepared, so I want to let the text be my guide as I'm preaching through this. I'm going to start in verse 68. Zechariah starts out with a praise. Thank you, God. If God has done something for you, oh, you owe him just the thank you. I read today in our prayer meeting, Psalm 147. It says, it is good to sing praises to God. And it's good to sing with thanksgiving. And so that's what Zechariah is doing, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. The end of verse 68, there's that key word, redeem. Please repeat after me. Redeem. Thank you. Redeem is the word. That is a very wonderful Bible word that you, if you believe in God, you have to put in your vocabulary. God is in the business of redemption, of redeeming. What happened? Something was lost. And God is going to go and find it. Something was broken, and God is going to go and fix it. Something was bought, but it turns out it wasn't all that good. And the people want to throw it away. But God says, no, don't throw that away. I like to redeem things. I'm the God of redemption. And so all throughout the history of the Bible, that's the whole story, is redemption. God has a people he wanted. And those people rebelled and they sinned and they disobeyed him. They offended him and they walked away from God. And in, as the result of their sin, they lost their joy. They lost their blessing. They lost all that God had for them. And so God said, oh, okay, that's all right. I'm the God who redeems. I'm the God who saves. I'm the God who fixes. They try to fix it on their own, but they keep messing it up. So I'm going to come in and I redeem. That's what Zechariah is saying. My God is a God who saves. And so whenever I pray for you, whenever I hear about your problems and I hear about your struggles, one of my prayers is, God, redeem this person's job. Lord, redeem this person's relationship with their husband or wife. Lord, redeem this person's entire life. They've messed it up, but you are the God who redeems. And so I pray for you and I say, God, if you can redeem my life, you can redeem theirs. Do what you do, Lord. And that's what Zechariah is praying. He's the God who redeems. Verse 69, he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. So here's the thing. It's not even about John. He's actually talking about Jesus. He's thanking God for his son John, but it's Jesus he's singing about. How is that? Because it says that through the house of David, he's the great king of Israel, I'm going to save my people. See, it was the people of Israel, they lost their joy and lost their blessing. There was a man named David, he was the king, and he ruled over Israel. And God promised to David, it's going to be your descendant, your seed, who I'm going to bless to rule over my people. And so people thought, oh, okay, God's blessing is for the nation of Israel. And God's protection is from the enemies of the nation of Israel. And so they thought, I'm an Israelite, I'm safe. I'm a descendant of Abraham, I'm God's people. And God said, no, it's a lot bigger than that. It's not that, but it's so much more than that. It's that and more. And so God had a people named Israel. He chose them, but it's not just them he chose. He chose them so that he can go from them to the rest of the world to save. And that's us. And so he says, As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. And so Zechariah is thinking about Rome and Greece and Assyria and Turkey, all of them. But as we know from the teaching of the apostles, Apostle Paul, Hebrews, it goes way beyond Israel, but it goes to the Gentiles. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, no man, no woman, but all are in the body through Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 71. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those of all who hate us. 72. To show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Oh, this is so good. So, I preached last week on the prophet Malachi. Malachi was 450 years before this event. And so you had this prophet named Malachi. He was preaching, God is coming. He's going to send someone in the spirit of Elijah. He's going to send someone to prepare the way. Nothing happens for 400 plus years. It's silent. There's no prophet. There's no great preacher. Nothing. And then there's this birth. And with this birth comes a new promise, a new hope. And God is working to fulfill what he had promised. So he says, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Could you just imagine? I mean, we're not even 400 years old. We're, what, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. In hundreds of years, nothing has happened. We're living in Japan. And for those who come to Japan to try to minister and preach the gospel, it's the most heartbreaking thing. I have seen in my 10 years, 13 years living here, I've met many missionaries come and many missionaries go. Many missionaries who try to do something exciting and try to bring about change even in Hiroshima. And it's heartbreaking. And we've had Bible studies, we've had prayer meetings, we've had big evangelistic events to try and draw people to Jesus Christ, and it's just a few. And you look at the church in Japan, it says that it's they're aging and they're dying. The average age is like 70, 80 years old. The average size of a church is maybe 13 to 20 people. This is a big church in Japan, where we have about 120 to 200 people. That's huge. And it can be discouraging. And so here we are in the Luke chapter 1, and that's what Zechariah is at. Nothing has been going on. Nothing has changed. God promised to do something, but it's like Japan. Nothing is working. Nothing is happening. And then this happens. God visited him with an angel. And not only that, he visited his relative, Mary, and says that she has a son. And so he's thinking, wow, God is working. It's happening. We're living in the time of promise. And so he's thanking God for that. Okay, I got to keep moving. Verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. If that's in your Bible, if you have a paper Bible, please underline and circle, mark that. If you have your app, tap it and copy it, or tap it and highlight it. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Where am I going with this? Lord, help me. Speak to me. I had my last lesson yesterday in my classes. I'm an English teacher, and I decided my students worked so hard this year, I'm going to give them a gift on their last lesson. I'm going to let it be a Christmas lesson. So we sang Christmas songs, and we played Christmas games with, you know, Christmas vocabulary, and we did no test work. We did no, you know, book work. I said, put it away. Let's have a Christmas thing. And so we're in the Christmas season, and it's a mistake if I let my students think Christmas is about the music or about the decorations or about the presents or about letters to Santa. It's a mistake. Christmas is about the forgiveness of sins, of salvation. So we sang this song called Go Tell It on the Mountain, and I went through the lyrics with them. And there's that one towards the end, down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation. That humble Christmas morn, I think is the blessed Christmas morn. The meaning of Christmas, the whole purpose of it, was God was cooking something up. And the cooking something up was called salvation. And so we draw a line from that first verse in 68. Redeem. That's the verb. The noun form is redemption. We draw a line from there to this verse. Salvation. Redemption, salvation. Redeem, save. God works redemption through salvation. How? Through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, if any man has sinned, he is a slave to sin. But God, through Jesus Christ, works salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Let me keep going. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Some of you here, you weren't here last week, so I get to preach it again. Last week, I preached on Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, he says, for those who fear God, the sun will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and leap like calves released from the stall. There are some of us in this land of the rising sun who are still walking in darkness. I want to speak to you just for a moment in these last few minutes. The lights are on all the time. But in your heart, it's black as night. You have relationships and friends on Facebook and people at work, and you have nomikai and meetings and everything, but you're the most alone person that you know. You go home, you go to bed, and you are utterly alone. You even call yourself a Christian, and you fear God. And yet, for you, it's a very dark life. The meaning of Christmas is that the sun has now risen, and he has healing in his wings. And so for you who fear his name, if you will come to him and allow him to forgive you of your sins, there is a healing for you that will set you free. It says that you are going to go forth. And not only will it set you free, it's going to let you leap like a calf. It means it's going to provide for you a joy that you will have never known and you will never know since. And that it's what Peter calls an inexpressible and glorious joy. Let me just close with this. You all know that you have sin in your heart. I'm a pastor. I was a worship leader. I know my Bible. And I look at other people at work. They don't read their Bible. They don't know Jesus. They're not pastors. They can't play worship songs. They don't know. They don't have kids. They're not good fathers to their children. They work too hard. And I have this pride in my heart that shows me that I look good on the outside, but I know that I have sin, that I'm a liar, that I'm a thief, I'm an adulterer, and I'm a hypocrite. I know it. And if I'm honest, if you're honest, you know it too. And if there's anything that I deserve, it's to be away from God. And then I open my Bible and I read that God removed His glory and became a man to walk the life that I should have walked and live the life that I should have lived. So He lived the perfect life. And then I read, He went to the cross to die the death that I should have died for my sins. And in return for my sins, He has given me forgiveness of sins. He has healed me of my hurts. He has given me eternal life. Now let me tell you, when I think about the goodness of God and how He saved me from myself, and I think about the work of Christ and how He's delivered me from sin, and I think about the mercy of God and how that removes my guilt before God, there's something in me that's called joy. And it comes out as thankfulness, but it's joy. And so now my kids are going crazy. My wife is mad at me. I've got no sleep. My students are disrespectful. And my boss is just telling me how I'm a bad worker. It's okay, because I got an inexpressible and glorious joy. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what Zechariah is coming at us with. It's salvation. God has redeemed us. Oh, my battery's running low. I need to close. So, shine on those living in darkness. Verse 79. Because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So there's the path of peace. I just showed it to you. It's the path to the cross. I want to just ask you, for those of you who don't know God, maybe you thought you knew Him, But you realize when it comes down to it, I really don't know God. There's the path. The path of peace is at the cross. Go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let your sins be forgiven and let Him set you free. For those of you who do know Jesus, who have a relationship with Him, come to the cross again. Come again. And let, if He has been good to you, be good to others. If He has forgiven you, forgive somebody. If He has been generous to you, give to someone. That's the message. That's our message. Amen. Okay, please all come on up, worship team. And I'm going to leave.